Please join me in a prayer for understanding. By your word, O God, everything was made. Your word is powerful and can transform our hearts. Speak to us today, O God. Open our hearts and minds to your renovating word and give us guidance and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Today's reading is from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 6 through 15, and also 21 through 24. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground, the one who made the Pleiades in Orion and turns deep darkness into morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name, who makes destruction flash out against the strong so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. Just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Let's give it up for the prophet Amos. Woohoo! There's some fire in there, but at the end, let justice roll down like waters. We don't always like to hear the prophetic voice turn our direction, but I think we can get behind that one. Our New Testament reading is coming from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. It's the entirety of chapter 12. Paul has heard or been accustomed to hearing this reading from Amos. So see if you can hear where Paul is quoting or referencing that. And this is also Paul, who cares very much about who the followers of Jesus will be. This is how he describes what it shall look like to follow Christ. Listen now for the word of God through the word of Paul. In his letter, he writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One thing I don't get into in the sermon is why we want to heap burning coals on people's heads. It's often thought that that means they will turn red. If you do something kind to someone who has harmed you, they will get embarrassed, and it will be as if you have heaped coals on their head in their embarrassment. I just like the pettiness that exists in humanity. Do the right thing, and they'll feel bad. He's not wrong. Before we come to the time of the sermon, I invite you just to take a moment to breathe. I could use some deep breaths right now, and maybe you could too. But just sticking with your normal, ordinary breath is fine too. As you breathe, feel God's spirit and spark in you. You who are delightful, you who are beloved, you who belong to God. God, with your love, you animate us. Help us to be your love in the world. Help us to listen for where you are calling us, to listen for your truth, and to be transformed by every encounter with you. Amen. So if you've been hanging around Ark and Dove for any amount of time, you've likely heard criticism of white Christian nationalism from this here pulpit. It was Ken or Tim or myself, or maybe in a book club, or out doing a good work. But if you haven't heard a condemnation of white Christian nationalism, here's one. It's a horrible heresy sweeping the nation. It ties together patriarchal, racist, homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic, ableist hierarchies and other biases with the consolidation of political power, brings those power and hierarchies together with religious power. It creates explicit castes of us versus them in order to do purposeful harm to marginalized people. And all along the way, white Christian nationalism proclaims that this is what God wants. This is what Jesus signs his name off on. We don't believe that. And this happens, Shane probably noticing this. This picture is from Huntington Beach, California, where we moved from to move out here. So we've seen it. But so we Presbyterians, we do not ascribe to white Christian nationalism because we understand that's not what Jesus or God would want. Jesus, who is God incarnate, was a dark-skinned Palestinian peasant, born on the margins of the margins. He crossed boundaries and barriers. He lifted the lowly, fed the hungry, turned power upside down. And when people wanted to make him king, did he accept that crown? No, he ran away. He said, "No, I will not be your king." And Jesus revealed that life and love triumph over death and empire. That's the Jesus in Scripture. That's the Jesus we know. And so when heretical versions of Christianity fill the headlines, consolidate power, and make us afraid for the future, it becomes even more important that we know who we are and why we are. Not so that we can become defenders of a faith or warriors who play into that false division, but so that we can discern God's call on us. God's call for Ark and Dove, for how we should face this moment with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control with our fruity spirits, if you will. And so to check in on who we are and why we are, we're going to spend this month with the Presbyterian Church's Book of Order, PCUSA's Book of Order. That's called the B-O-O, or our boo, like our boyfriend, our girlfriend. It's our boo. It's very cute. Now, the Book of Order makes up half of our Constitution as a denomination. The other half is the Book of Creeds and Confessions. Another time for that one. That requires lots of unpacking as well. But the Book of Order is a document that we hold to as the PCUSA. It contains our connectional agreements as to why and how we gather, how we manage ourselves, how we organize ourselves, what is the theology we ground ourselves in, how do we deal with conflict and questions. There's a handbook for that. And now, this may not sound super exciting. We're going to read the Book of Order. In the grand battle for Christianity's soul and the soul of democracy and all of those things that are roiling dramatically around us. But I think it can be exciting. I am going to make an argument that it's exciting to read the Book of Order together. If we lean into what we understand ourselves to be as Christians, we will meet God there, God who enlivens us, directs us, and helps us to walk humbly in the world, in that mission that God has put us all on. A mission of love and joy and justice and hope and all of those things that we know come from God. So here's the plan for the month. The Book of Order is divided into four sections. We have four Sundays in June. I'm calling this Polity and Pride Month. So polity is how we govern ourselves, and pride. We're doing both. The four sections are foundations of Presbyterian polity, what undergirds who we are. Form of government, how we organize ourselves. We're going to do some cahoots and things. We're going to do some games next week because form of government is a little dry. The directory for worship, which is pretty great. And church discipline, my least favorite. And the least read section, you only go there when things get really bad. And it just so happens that Ken will be back in time to take on the church discipline section. But he thinks it sounds fun because interims have to know how to manage conflict. So teamwork makes the dream work. We're going to be going through the Book of Order this month. And so this week, we'll start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. When you count, you begin with 1, 2, 3. When you're Presbyterian, you begin with foundations. And so that's the theology behind why we are the way we are. Now, I could read you the whole thing, but that would not be a great use of my time. Nor would you listen to me read the whole thing. You'd probably go get a coffee about 2/3 of the way through. So you're getting a skimming of important pieces, and I'm also organizing myself with Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. Paul's helping me stay in my lane. So, a quick side note, because I did this at the end, it didn't work as well. Your assignment is to go home and read the foundation section, because I'm just giving you an exciting taste of it, and it'll be posted on the Facebook page if you'd like to go home and read the rest of it. So, this is my confession. You're getting not all of it, but some. And so using Paul's letter, chapter 12, Paul's letter to the Romans as our guide, we're going to start with how Paul describes the church. Paul asserts that the church is the body of Christ, a metaphor he uses elsewhere. It's a common metaphor. The body made up of many members, each member an essential piece of the body. We likewise use that language to describe what the church is in the Book of Order. The church is the body of Christ. We are called as the church, the body, to participate in God's mission for the transformation of creation and humanity. We're here to do transforming work for all humanity and all creation. And in the Book of Order, we used this as our silent prayer and meditation at the beginning. We affirm that this body extends across all barriers that could be used to divide us, across barriers of race, ethnicity, age, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, disability, geography, or theological conviction. There will be no discrimination across any barrier in the PCUSA. We do not believe in division. We do not believe in us versus them. We do not believe in any human hierarchy of belonging or human worth. We stand not just as one little dot, Ark and Dove, but we stand with the network of the PCUSA. And I think we can also say we stand with the scriptures on that. Our call to worship this morning was lifted directly from the Book of Order, clarifying what it means to be the body of Christ. We are not just an institution that meets here on Sundays. We're not just people who live in the same general area, who feel similar about politics and the world, and enjoy gathering for team meetings and potlucks. Yes, we do that, but that's not just who we are. We are a body, alive together. Alive as a body because we have come together. We belong deeply to one another and to God. And together, all of us, this embodied church is meant to live in the world as Jesus did, to move in the world as Jesus did, using all of our gifts pooled to feed and to heal, to love and to see others, to bestow dignity, to share in affection and honor with all of the world. And we know, because we've all dealt with people before, that it's only through God's grace that we can gather in this way. It's not easy to belong to each other, and yet we're called to do that. One of the most radical things that I made you proclaim in our call to worship from F1.0301, there are numbers for all these things, it's very fun. I made you proclaim, this was in the many section, so you said this out loud, we are to be a community of faith, entrusting ourselves to God alone, even at the risk of the church losing its life. What a contrast that is to Christian nationalism that seeks to yoke the power of the state to the power of the church, to grow that power over everything, and to use that power to marginalize non-Christians and non-white folks, to rule over all institutions in society. We do not believe that we're here to hoard power for ourselves, to build a tower for just us, to wield power over others. That's not how we gather as the Presbyterian Church. No, per the Book of Order, we're here to participate in God's mission of care. Care for the needs of the sick, the poor, the lonely, to free people from sin, suffering, and oppression, to establish Christ's just, loving, and peaceable rule in the world, even if that means the institution of the church will die, even if that means giving up whatever claim we have to power. How radical is it that in our governing documents, we're willing to face the demise of the very institution those documents govern? In all the hand-wringing in the news and in Pew Research about the decline in mainline Protestantism and the decline in different numbers in denominations, in our very Constitution, we've embedded that we are here to serve God, not to build ourselves up. We are here to be God's faithful people, imperfectly. The USA is finite. It is God who is infinite. And it's a bigger calling. We are called to look to Jesus Christ, who goes ahead and calls us to follow him. A quote from the Book of Order. Follow where he goes. Look where he goes. And as we do so, to see what we've always done because it's how we've always done it, but to follow Christ into the world. And that's where we quote this Romans 12. When Paul says, do not be conformed to the world. Many of us have heard that phrase as sort of a condemnation of the worldliness of people being able to be themselves. But Paul's whole phrase is not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, to follow and to think and to change and transform and grow in love. Now, Paul putting me back on track to be organized, or I will be here forever. Paul really gets cooking. This is my favorite Pauline passage, I believe, verses 9 through 21. Paul, the exhorter, exhorts his readers how to live as a follower of Jesus. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice with those who rejoice. There's rejoicing in this life. Weep with those who weep. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And my very personal favorite, you may have heard me read it in a way I emphasize some things, because it comes with not one but two caveats. This is my favorite. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Aren't those words for a time like ours? We know what it's like to want to live in peace, to be trying to live in peace with neighbors and world and community and those who believe differently than we do. And we still encounter those who will not live in peace with us. There are those who live in a different reality than we do, where elections were stolen, war is peace, and you name the falsehood that you read in the news headlines last week. It's a tension that Paul lived with too, which makes it a little comforting. People have always used the truth and made up truths bent to their will. And so in the Book of Order, there is an incredible, faithful response to this tension. The response is that truth matters. So you have to listen to this. It's a little fancy. I had to read it twice. But it says, we believe that no opinion can be more pernicious or more absurd than that which brings truth and falsehood upon a level and represents it as of no consequence what a man's opinions are. In our very Book of Order, we say no opinion can be more pernicious or more absurd than that which brings truth and falsehood upon the level. That says truth and falsehood are the same thing, and it doesn't matter what your opinions are. We believe in truth, that there is observable truth, that truth comes from God. And that's not a new part of the Book of Order. It was not written to rebuke the fake news or QAnon or post-truth world we live in. Again, there have always been those willing to bend truth to their agenda. But we must live as if there is an inseparable connection between faith and practice, truth and duty. We stand on what is true, what is good, and that is what comes from God. And what comes from God is that which we were taught by Jesus, God incarnate who came to show us how to live. And so then our call is to live as Christ followers in all that we do, in the church building and outside of it, while the church thrives and is full of children and people and wonderful times, and even when it doesn't. To be a Christ follower in our best moments of giving and generosity, and also in our usual moments of routine and habit, to be a Christ follower then. And even in lives that tempt us to not be our best selves, when work gets hard and things get competitive and children get annoying, to still be followers of Jesus. In all that we do, we're called to be followers of God through Jesus Christ, members of one body, participating in God's kingdom, God's family of joy and abundance, which is good news of great joy for all creation. We are not called to scheme or hoard power, to build ourselves up and tear others down, to create a God in our own image who looks like us and thinks like us and hates like us. A God who's a tyrant of our own design. That's not who we are. That's not who we are as Ark and Dove. That's not who we are as the PCUSA. That's not who we are as followers of Christ. We are being called to so much more. And what a beautiful call it is. I believe the prophet Amos told us that call is to let justice roll down like a mighty stream. Now, your homework this week, as I already told you, I only got to some of my favorite parts of the foundation section of the Book of Order. And if you'd like to read it, you are welcome to. But know this, there is a foundation under our feet, and it's not something that we have earned. It's not something that we have made or something we've captured special lightning in a bottle here. What we have under our feet is Jesus Christ, God incarnate, on the side of justice and love and hope and peace and abundance for all. Amen.